Real people, real conversations. From the American Shopman of PA Studio, it's the Puffcast.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the very first episode of the Puffcast. We're doing it from the American Shaman of PA Studio. The show today brought to you by QuickSave Coupons. Download the QuickSave Coupons app and start saving money at the places you already go to. So here's the deal. I decided that after 20 years of doing the same type of radio, the same type of entertainment show, I wanted to do something different. I wanted to have real conversations with real people talking about real things, their life. They're doing something interesting. They've done something interesting. They've seen something. They've been a part of something. Usually I would just read some funny stories and then make fun of those people. And that was all good. But now we're going to try something new. This is the Puffcast, episode number one. Couldn't be happier with my first guest, Jillian Boyer. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you. Like, I'm honored to have you here as my first guest.
It's literally my pleasure. Like, I'm so excited for this.
Yeah, I'm really excited too. So why is Jillian here? Well, this Saturday, she is going to be locked into a cage with another female, and they will not come out until one of them is dead. I'm just kidding. It's the Art of War 19 this Saturday, Sportsplex, Feasterville, Pennsylvania. Again, Art of War 19. Okay, so the dead part was a little much, but you won't be out of there until knockout, a tap out, referee's or judge's decision.
Yep.
It's mixed martial arts. And I mean, let's just start with that question. Why mixed martial arts?
I got into it for completely different reasons. Wanted to learn to kind of defend myself.
Right.
I think it's a good skill set for people to just have generally.
So what'd you start with? You don't start with mixed martial arts. What did you start with?
No, so my base is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Okay.
And I've been doing that for a few years. And then, so in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you can kind of like go up through the ranks and get different belts. And I really wasn't into wearing what they call a gi, which is kind of the uniform thing.
Right.
I liked without the gi. It's called no gi.
Right.
So I got like a little more familiar with no gi, and I was always interested in the striking part of it. I just wasn't very good at it.
Sure.
I was a smoker, so I was like, I'm never gonna take this any further if I continue to smoke and do that. And I said the only way I would ever like take a fight or do something cool like that would be like my incentive would be like you can take a fight if you quit smoking. So
I'm guessing you quit
smoking. I did. I'm August 24th will be my 3 years of nicotine sobriety. So I'm really excited about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you're fighting again this Saturday at the Sportsplex in Feasterville. Do you know your opponent?
I do.
Like,
not.
Know her? Have you ever seen her fight before?
No, this is her first fight.
Yeah,
this is her debut fight. So I don't know much about her. I know that she is affiliated with like the matchmaker of Art of War. Her name's Jillian as well. And
Battle of the Jillians, everyone.
No.
There can only be one Jillian.
My opponent's not Jillian.
Oh, darn.
Her name's Tori.
Darn it. All right.
The matchmaker's name is Jillian, and I've been kind of following Art of War and following Jillian for a little while now. I've always wanted to be on their promotion. It's set up really beautifully, and they do a really nice job. And every time I've gone to see, you know, one of my fighter friends at one of the Art of Wars, I'm like, yo, this is so cool. They do such a nice job. So I was really excited. They reached out to me about this fight. And I was in the middle of changing schools. So I reached out to my current coach and was like, hey, I know this is really short notice and we just talked about this, but if you'd be willing to corner me for this fight, I'm going to take it. And he was like, yeah, let's do it. So
nice.
It worked out timeline wise for him. But I probably started learning the stand up part of it about, I want to say like 3 years, and I just was hot garbage. It was so bad. It was awful. But now I'm getting really comfortable and confident on my feet. And like this camp has really given me some really good confidence with standing up and throwing hands. And it's actually become really fun for me. Like I look forward to punching thing.
So, well, that's the question. You know, you have a background in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, yep. So you have a background in submission.
Yep.
But you're really falling in love with the punching.
Yeah, you know, I really
with
am.
The punching and the kicking. So when you go in there, do you want to score a knockout? I mean, what? I mean, I know most people be like, I just want to win.
Right.
Right. I just want to compete best job I can, and I want to win, however that may be.
Sure.
But would it feel? Would you feel some sense of accomplishment by dropping this chick?
I've thought about it a lot. Like, I would really. I don't know. I think like as a female, knocking someone out is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Like, you don't see it a whole lot. Is it possible? Sure, I've seen it, but you know, you're looking at like pro fighters and things like that. So, am I that caliber? No, absolutely not.
Well, not with that attitude.
Right. but I mean, yeah, cool. It would be rad as hell to. Knock somebody out. Like, yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to it by any means. But kind of like what you said, like, I'm just going in there. I want to be able to showcase all the hard work I've put into this camp. Everyone that has been, like, following me through this knows that I've been busting my butt. Every night I have something going on. Every day I have something going on. So,
well, like, okay, so let's talk about this. Is this an amateur fight?
It's an amateur fight, yeah.
So, like, you're not getting paid for this.
Correct.
What drives you to do this?
You know,
like, let me start with this. Were you an athlete your whole life?
I was, yeah.
What did you do?
I did everything. I was a swimmer. I played soccer. I did softball. I played everything.
Right.
Anything I could get my hands on. I'm very athletically inclined.
So is it the competitiveness?
For sure that. When I first started in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I was really good at it immediately. My first competition was only 3 months after I started training, and I got a double gold, and there were no points scored on me. So
wow.
When you go to these competitions, it's like point scoring and or, you know, submission. Like, those are the two ways to win.
Mm-hmm.
And no one scored any points on me in the very first competition, only 3 months after I started.
So you were hooked.
I was hooked immediately. Yeah. I was like, okay, cool. I get the competition part of it. I get to be kind of a badass. Like, I felt, you know, empowered by it. And then, you know, I just kind of like, I was very inconsistent. I've been very inconsistent over the years. You know, I'll get injured and I'll stay out for a while, or, you know, life happens. I'm a very busy gal. So, but I really decided with this fight, after this fight, I'm going to rededicate myself to, you know, mixed martial arts, to jiu-jitsu, to learning. It's been really fun watching how much I've grown just in the little bit that I've been at this new space with my new coach and coaches, because I have another coach as well. But yeah, I've grown so much that, like, I want to just pursue it to the nth degree, wherever that leads me. So, after this fight, I'm going to get right back into training and work really hard. And this was going to be my retirement fight.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, what changed? And I think you and I talked,
a couple weeks ago, actually. Maybe, yeah.
We saw each other and I even told you, I said, you're not retiring, right?
Yeah, things went so well that I really changed my mind. This was going to be my retirement fight. I was going to 1,000,000% get up, you know, win, lose, or draw, and just tell everyone, like, hey, this was my last one. It's very time-consuming. You have to dedicate a lot of...
Absolutely.
A lot of other things take a backseat when you're in a fight camp. Not necessarily when you're training. Like, you can... maneuver around training, but when you're in a fight camp, it's very selfish, and my kids miss out on things, and so it's like, I was like, I'm kind of done doing this.
Right.
The weight cuts are awful. I hate them.
Yeah, we'll talk about all that, but let's start with your fight camp. For people who don't follow mixed martial arts or boxing,
yeah,
explain what a fight camp is. Explain, like, from beginning to end.
So for everyone, it's a little bit different. Camp is essentially when you decide to take a fight. Camp can be anywhere. Some people are in camp all the time, so they just stay ready. Usually that's obviously a professional But when you say you're in like fight camp, it's like official that you're training for that fight. I think my camp this time was, I don't remember. Was it 8 weeks? I don't know. Something along those
lines. 8 weeks is a pretty lengthy fight
Yeah,
camp,
so,
right?
Well, no.
That's 2 months.
Usually fight camps run between 12 weeks. 8 weeks is pretty short.
Really?
Yeah.
Shows what I know.
Yeah, 8 weeks is pretty short fight camp. It was either 8 or 9. But yeah, so 12-week camp is pretty standard, I think. That's what I've been around, at least. So, yeah, it's intensive. It's me personally, I plan my – I try to – I'm a planner. I have OCD. I have organizational. I need structure or else my whole world falls apart. I'm very – like – my house stays clean. My car stays clean. Like everything has a place. So for me, I try to plan my whole fight camp out. It doesn't always work out the way you plan it. Like this camp, there were some hiccups along the way for me, but I managed to get very close. And I still want to add more things to the next fight camp. Like I really would like to get back into yoga and doing some things like that. So I think the like hot yoga with like the stretching and the warmth keeps your muscles really like you get less injuries. I feel like it's just my personal opinion.
So is the goal of that fight camp to like peak at the
yeah,
optimal
you wanna,
time?
Yeah, exactly. So usually I for me, I peak about 2 weeks out. And then I kind of like crash, which is okay because we're two to 3 weeks out. And I kind of crash emotionally. I crash physically a little bit. And then I take a couple days for recovery. And then I'm like a whole savage after that. It's just like go time.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, you peak and then – or for me, I peak and then I crash. I crash hard. Every time, every camp, it's like I crash really hard. And then I'm like, okay, let's go. Like as soon as I can like have some recovery time, like 2, 3 days, 4 days if I need it, I'm like, I'm good. I'm golden.
So in terms, you mentioned the camp, but then you also mentioned the weight cutting.
Yes.
And we talked a little bit like very slightly about this before we jumped on. But right now, as we speak, a few days out, you are, what'd you say, 7?
I'm 7 out.
You're 7 pounds over.
Yeah.
So you're 7 pounds over. So in the next, because we're recording this on Wednesday, so the day after tomorrow is Friday, that's when you weigh in.
Yep.
So, and then you can weigh whatever.
Right.
You know, when you fight.
After I weigh, yeah.
So weight cutting is something that's been very controversial.
Sure.
Because you see these fighters. There was a fighter just recently. It was a female fighter, I think. Got up. There's a UFC female fighter. Got up
Dizzy.
And, like, collapsed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they, like, canceled her fight.
Yep.
Because of how strenuous the weight cutting is.
Sure.
Now, how close are you on a regular basis from your weight class? Like, are you within 20 pounds, 15 pounds?
No.
you don't have to go into super detail.
I won't go
curious.
Into super detail, but I had a really hard time over COVID. We'll just say that.
Okay. I think we all did.
And I didn't do the COVID 15. I didn't do the COVID 30. I did a little bit more than that. So I was walking around pretty heavy. I know you saw me in that time, but people that like kind of knew me, oh, I shouldn't say knew me, but like had seen me during that time and see me now, they're like, yo, you're a whole different human. But yeah, normally it's good to walk around, you know, 20 pounds over what you're, that's like a... That's okay.
Well, and if you follow Jillian on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, you're always running. It seems like you're always running. You're always taking videos of yourself running. So, I mean, at this point, you're 7 pounds over. How confident is that pretty much going to be
that's
easy
great.
For you?
That's really easy. I didn't want to cut it all this camp, but female bodies just don't care. They don't care. Dudes can cut 7 pounds in like an hour. It's real easy for a guy, man. 7 pounds for me will probably take me – I won't be at 7. I'll be under 5 probably, likely, because I'm water loading right now. So essentially what that means is I take on a bunch of water and I put salt in it. And then my body personally is like, oh shit, salt, we're gonna hold all this water.
Right.
So probably by Friday, when I wake up Friday morning, very likely I'll have under 5 pounds tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
So I may have three or four. But yeah, it just depends. Or my body might go, oh no, honey, we're gonna cut this whole seven. Which I don't care either way. I could do seven. Yeah. Seven's fine. It just will. I go slow because I don't like to get dizzy or any of that weird stuff. I like.
All right. So Friday comes. You make weight, we assume. What's the first thing you eat? What's the first thing that you
I can't eat anything. My nutritionist says I can't eat anything for an hour.
Okay.
And here's why. When you're dehydrated, your gut doesn't make any stomach acid to be able to metabolize the food. So,
all right. So the first thing you have to do is what? Get water, hydrate, electrolytes,
hydrate for like an that. Hour. She has me on a whole like regimen. So hydrate for the whole first hour, and then I'm allowed to have applesauce as my first thing.
Oh wow! All that work, and you get some applesauce at the end.
Yes. Yeah, so
now, okay.
Some people do baby food, but I'm not into it.
Okay. Is there anything? Like when are you allowed to have solid foods again?
So I'm gonna my very first meal is gonna be applesauce, and then I'm gonna do Jell-O,
and then
in a half hour I can start to do some fruit, and then once I'm 2 hours out, then I can have an actual meal, and she's like, go get carbs. I don't care.
Oh, okay.
I don't care what those carbs look like.
Nice.
Go get carbs. I'm like, okay.
So when you guys are getting ready for this fight, is there like, do you guys have a game plan?
So
game plan based on?
I personally have different people for different aspects of the game plan. And it's all based on the fighter, really. I hired a nutritionist because I had a really terrible weight cut my very first fight, and it literally scarred me. It was horrible, and I didn't know how bad it could be. Like I thought they were gonna have to call the ambulance for me. It was really horrific. So this fight camp, I was like, I planned my weight down to the T, and then I had a couple of hiccups like 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and my body was just like, nope. We're going to hang on to some of this weight. So if it would have all gone by plan, I would have had to cut 0 pounds, but it didn't. So we're going to cut some and it'll be all right. But, so I have a nutritionist for that side of it. My general coach, my main coach, Jack, he pretty much takes care of all of the encompassing things of fight camp. Like he checks on me every day about my weight, you know, just make sure that I'm good, checks on injuries. He works with me for both stand up and all of the grappling stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have my other coach pretty much specializes in jiu-jitsu stuff. So when I go see him, I just do jiu-jitsu. And then I have a couple of other cross training schools that I go to for different reasons. And then I have a strength and conditioning coach. So I go see her during the week. And Astrea is amazing. I had never incorporated like lifting with, I know that sounds dumb. I mean like heavy weights, like deadlifts and things like that. This is the first time I'm ever doing that, really.
Right.
And she's been great with like teaching me the proper way to do it.
So yeah, a lot of people don't do that right.
Right.
And they end up hurting themselves, or it ends up really not doing what they think it's doing.
Right. Like if you can do 600 reps, but if they're bad reps, they're not structured properly, you're not going to do anything for yourself.
So you mentioned earlier that when you're in fight camp, a lot of things fall to the wayside. You're not giving attention to everything.
Right.
And you mentioned kids.
I have two kids.
Two kids. Well, how old are they?
My daughter is 14, and she is crazy, amazing, and all of the things that a 14-year-old is. And my son, who is like the whole opposite of her, is like the sweetest little boy, and he's just carefree, just goes with the flow. Not Cameron. My daughter is my spitting image. So
how old's your son?
She's a little sassy, 12.
All right, so do they watch you fight? Are they going to the fight?
So they have been to, like, competitions, but never a fight. They're going to be at the beach with their dad. So, yeah. So they won't be around. But I don't, my daughter didn't really care for it.
Why is that? Just because she's afraid?
She's like,
afraid
it's kind of like hard to watch you get punched, Mom. I'm like, yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
Thing. You know.
I mean, it could be worse. Here's the thing. If she didn't care, psychopath.
Right.
If she didn't care.
Oh, no. She, listen, that little girl, 1,000,000% should be a fighter. My son wrestles, and she did a wrestling, like a little thing at one of their like wrestling parties, and she wrestled this little girl, and I was like, oh God, how did you know how to do any of that? This poor little girl got just smashed. And Cameron was like, got up, dusted her shoulder off. I was like, yo, this little girl's a sap. No, she is terrifying. I say that all the time. She's got some like anxiety, like kind of like me, where it's like new things, mm-hmm. walking into a new place, not knowing. She has a little bit of that going on. So she feels like everybody's watching her and like no one's watching.
Right. So one of my beliefs is every single child should learn a martial art.
Absolutely.
I don't care what that martial art is.
Right.
Right. I wrestled in high school.
Right.
And then I ended up taking submission grappling in college, and I did Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu just like you.
Yep.
Here in central Pennsylvania. And I'm
Which
a firm.
You need to get back into
I know I need to get back into it. Stop it. But I loved it. I just didn't have time. But you know what? Now I really don't have an excuse.
Yeah.
But with your daughter, right? You said that like she's a little shy, a little apprehensive about things. The confidence that you get, the confidence that's instilled
Absolutely.
With you without even trying.
You don't even know that
in
that's
martial
a
arts.
Thing.
And I don't care what it is. And we all have our belief on what martial art is better than the other
right.
martial art. But pretty much any martial art, if trained properly, will instill a sense of confidence.
It's like
in
a side effect of martial arts.
100%.
It's like the main goal is to, you know, be good at jiu-jitsu or whatever you're doing and like get better and get physically fit and all of these things. But the biggest part for me personally, when I first started and still now really, when I first started, it was like the side effects of that were like growing my self-confidence and learning patience and like all these other things that you don't really focus on per se. Like you're not there to be like, I'm going to learn to be patient today. Like
right.
that's
it
not
just
a
comes
thing.
With
it
it
just comes with it. Yeah. So it became like, that became really addicting to me where it was like, I know every time I go in there, I get better. Mm-hmm. And as a person, and once you kind of realize that, it's like, okay, see, now you need to go even more because,
right.
you know, it helps you with every other aspect of your life.
Yeah, I don't have kids, but when I do, it's going down. They are going. I don't care.
Absolutely.
Whatever they're into. Like, I would love for them to do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah.
Because that's what's what I like. But if they're like, we want to take Taekwondo, all right, do your little flippy
My
kicks.
My son really wants to box. So
that's awesome. You
I
should
think
box.
That's a thing. Yeah, and he's a wrestler too, so he'll have some – I told him that's fine. He's just he wants to do everything, so it's tough.
Yeah. So in terms of them watching you fight, you said your daughter doesn't love it. Has your son seen anything yet?
Yeah, he kind of watched like a competition that I had. It was like a I want to call it a tournament, an MMA tournament. We're gonna call it an MMA tournament. I don't really know what the like term would be for it, but it was like a little like. Tournament that we tried out but
okay
so he was like that was cool mom and I'm like yeah it was he's like I should still learn this and I'm like okay cool like it didn't freak him out it didn't faze him he was like yeah that was cool mom
yeah you just got to be careful because when they start becoming like teenagers to the point where they hate you they're gonna be standing up being like yeah punch her she took my video games away last week get her that's what you get mom that's
I'm
what you get
iPad anymore punch her harder
so all right let's get personal
okay
are you single are you dating
I am single I'm aggressively single
I don't think I've ever heard that
yes.
aggressively single
I'm aggressively single
all right well how long have you been single?
I've been single for 4 years.
Okay, so Do guys, now aggressively single to me means you are absolutely 100% not looking at all.
That's not true at all.
What does that mean?
I'm just like, aggressively single means that there has just been, so it's seemingly like every, I'm very picky about who I want to give my time to because it's few and far between.
Yeah, so, you give your time to your nutritionist.
Right, right. So it's like if there's a guy that comes along that I'm interested in, I wholeheartedly go for it. And it's seemingly like very few and far between that those people come along. I mean, dude, my DMs are full every day of my life. It's really awful. I mean, I shouldn't say it's awful. It's just, I'm not interested in any of those people. So it's like the person or the people that I have been interested in the last 4 years just haven't been interested in me, which sucks.
Sure.
So it's like, I just keep waiting around until the right person comes along.
Well, I ask this and I approach this subject because I can imagine that to a lot of guys, who you are, what you do, what you're into can be really freaking intimidating.
It is.
Right?
Like, and I know that.
And to some guys, it could be emasculating. Right? Do I want to date a girl who I'm physically intimidated of?
Yeah.
And to some guys are like, yes, I am into that.
So,
but that, those are kind of creepy guys.
The other side of the coin is I also, the type of man that I look for is someone that I feel, in addition to a million other things, but like someone I feel safe with. If I feel like I could beat you up, I'm not interested. I'm not.
There goes like 75% of the guys.
I'm just not. And like I'm very independent, but also like really enjoy when a man takes care of me. You
sure.
know what I mean? Like
sure.
I have my own house, I have my own car, I pay my own bills. Like I don't need a man per se for anything, but like
you're like a full Destiny's Child song.
I really am.
Yeah.
No scrubs or
no, that was
something.
TLC.
No, that's TLC.
Yeah. Shoes on my feet. I bought it.
But yeah, so it's like it's this weird combination of I'm super intimidating to a lot of men, which great, perfect. Those men, I'm not interested in.
Right.
If I'm intimidating to you, no thank you.
Sure.
You can go somewhere else. And then there's these overly aggressive dudes that are just like, oh, I bet you could beat me up. But let's fight. Blah, blah.
Like, really?
Bro.
That's hitting on you? Trying to fight you?
Yeah, it's really just pretty. I had a man today. Today, I was getting something out of my trunk in my car, and he aggressively pulls over to like talk to me. He's like, I'm going to need your number. He's like, oh, you look like a fighter. And I was like, yeah, dude, I am. Like, I literally am. And he's like, oh, my God. He's like, that's the hottest thing I've ever heard. I'm like.
So fun yeah. fact about me. I am very, very, very shy around girls. Girls I like. Now, obviously, married. But so I'm talking about like.
I love that.
I'm like 10 years ago me, right? I'm very shy around women. I've never been able to talk to them, even though like. That surprises people because I'm not a shy person.
Right. Same.
But it's just like I have this major fear of rejection. So a guy having the cojones to pull up and be like,
yeah,
I'm going to need your number.
It's totally the opposite of what I'm attracted to.
Not in a million years would I ever even consider doing that when I was single. I definitely don't consider doing that now in case you're watching, babe.
Sorry, babe. That shyness is attractive to me. That like coy. I'm the same way. I know this is gonna sound way off from what everyone thinks of me. I am very sensitive and I am very shy. Mm-hmm. Especially when I like someone, I'm a whole goofball.
Yeah.
I don't know what the heck I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I try to like manage it in a way that I'm like, I really like you. Hey, like I'm gonna be open about this. But I'm also shy, so I don't know what to say after I say mm-hmm. that. And I'm the same way. I think, like, rejection sucks, and it takes me out for a little bit. So when I put myself out there, it's very few and far between. Like, I'm very picky, like I said. When I do, if there's rejection involved, it takes me a minute to, like, bounce back.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, when I met my wife, I was like,
I have to really, like, write my journal a lot.
I was, like, the king of the friend zone. Right when I was single, I was friend zoned. Like,
I know.
Like, oh, see that girl? I'd friend her so hard.
I'd friend her all the way.
Right. So when I met my wife, I was like, okay, I really like this girl. I'm gonna try something new. I'm either gonna date her or I'm not gonna talk to her anymore. I am not. I said I don't need another friend. So I was like, not aggressive, because that is not the wrong term, but I made my intentions known.
Yeah.
So that I wouldn't be like, oh my God, Puffy's such a good friend. He's like my brother.
He is amazing.
Oh my God. I love him. When I ever have guy problems, I call Puff and I talk to him.
I know. Listen, I it's funny because I put a lot of guys in the friend zone. And it's just like I enjoy their company. I have so many men chasing me around. It's pretty drastic. Like if people would see like the amount of men that chase me around, and I'm just not like interested in the men that are currently pursuing me. Yeah. I'm just not interested.
Is there anything, because I've heard this a lot, right, from women.
Yeah.
About guys being all up in their DMs and everything. Is there anything a guy could tell you or say to you through a direct message that would actually interest you? And you don't have to say it out loud because
my DMs are going to be full after
I'm
this.
I'm just saying, like, do you really think there's anything? And maybe there is, you just haven't seen it
yet. I do. I think that, there have been guys that have intrigued me over the time. It's just, I really have to get to know somebody and be comfortable with them to be interested in them. Or, like, there's people that I inherently right away, like, have a feeling for, or, you know, I'm like, oh, I really, this person seems so kind, right, and like wonderful, and like I want to get to know them in a different way. Like, I think those qualities that maybe, like, okay, cool, like I'm attracted to some, there are a lot of really good looking men that are in my life, like, right, a lot. Yeah. That's not enough for me.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah,
I mean, you're sitting across the table. I'm sorry. Yeah. To your wife.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. There's a lot of really good looking men in your life.
There really are. There really are. But it's like, it's so much bigger for me. And I'm such a deep person. Like, I don't do the like hookup thing. I don't do the one night stand. Mm-hmm. I just don't. I was celibate for a very long time.
Me too, but not by choice.
Yeah. Mine was by choice.
Mine was not.
At first, and then it became not by choice because it was like, oh, I might.
Could you get
like
so
that.
Picky that it is, yes, by choice, but yeah, it's not by choice.
Right, right, yeah, right. So at first it was more like I had gotten out of a long-term relationship. I was really broken over that. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to spend some time like just on me, and I did that. And then I got to a space where I was like, okay, cool, the celibacy thing was cool, but like now I want a date.
Right.
And then I broke the celibacy like randomly, and I was like, oh, this was not fun. This was not fun at all. I'm going to be celibate again. So I did it again, and I really enjoyed the second time I did it. Was more for like just to see like if I could keep dudes at bay.
Oh, yeah?
It was kind of fun. It was like, I was like, oh, we can go on dates, but like I'm celibate. I would tell people that. And it was interesting. It was a cool social experiment.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So so you guys would meet you or message you and say, I think, and they would say the normal stuff. I think you're beautiful.
Right.
I've been following you.
Right.
You're great.
Right.
Will you go on a date? Do you want to insert bug in here?
Yeah, there was.
I think it hit me earlier.
I'd be like, that's cool. We can go out. We can hang out. But I just want to preface this all with the fact that I'm celibate. I'm not. And you know what? So then I kind of used that. This is going to be awful.
Whatever.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I kind of used that. So I don't really like going on dates. I'm not great at them. I'm just kind of like awkward. I'm an awkward person. So I would use that celibacy. I'd be like, I'm celibate, so you're not going to want to like go on a date with me. Like I would use it to like get out of going on dates.
Would you use it as a test?
No, I'd just be like.
So you would just,
I'd be like, oh, I'm celibate. I don't know how long this.
So
is
a guy would
last.
Ask you out, and you would say, I'm celibate, so I'm not gonna go out with you.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even give him the chance to go.
Depending
no,
on
that's
who
okay.
it was.
I just want to get to know you.
No, because none of them want to just get to know you. That's not real.
Well, they could say, well, you know what? Fine, we'll take it slow. I do want to get to know you, and if it ends up there eventually, so be it. And by eventually, I mean what? Third date, fourth date.
So if a man is persistent, I typically will give him an opportunity. If he's persistent enough, I will typically give him an opportunity because it's like, I feel that if you're that persistent and you're pursuing me that hard, like you really are interested.
Sure.
I think a lot of times guys just reach out to girls that they find hot and they don't know anything about them. And they're like, oh, go on a date with me. Like, you don't know me. I'm a really boring person. I really am. I work a lot. I have my kids and I have this fighting stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
and
now
if you don't fit
worse.
Somewhere yeah. in there, like, you know.
I think it's one of those things where you have to find that person that is respectful of all your other interests.
Well, and that's the other thing. So
and
I
is
tried,
willing to take a back seat.
I tried talking to a guy not too long ago. And I was really interested in, not really interested in him, but he was really interested in me and I was like open to that. And because he was persistent and I was like, okay, cool. Like he really likes me. But some of the things he'd say would be like, oh, you really need to get out of this fighting thing. Or like, oh, you never spend time with me. And it's just like, bro, you knew this getting into
this.
This
isn't something new. It's not like you started dating mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, hey, I decided I'm going to devote 6 days a week to fighting.
You're not my priority. No offense to him. I'm sure he's going to hear this.
Whatever. You're not saying his name.
No.
So whatever.
He knows who he is.
You know who you are.
You know who you are.
So for those of you who can't see, if you're just listening to the show, Jillian has tattoos
everywhere.
Do you even know the number of times you've been tattooed?
I don't think it's a number anymore.
Well, because a lot of them go into each other.
Yeah. So like I never, when people ask me how many tattoos I have, it's a terrible question because I don't know how you would even figure that out. Like, what counts as one tattoo?
Do you know how many times you've been in the tattoo chair?
No. No freaking clue. I forget sometimes that I have tattoos. Like, I have two tattoos in my mouth. And like,
wait, you have tattoos in your mouth?
I do. I have one on the roof of my mouth. I have one on my lip here.
Like, if you do that with your lip, can I see it?
Yeah.
What does that say?
Boss.
What is the one on the roof of your mouth?
Because I'm a freaking boss.
What is it?
The one on the roof of my mouth... is a symbol for courage.
How like they literally shoved the tattoo gun in your mouth?
Yes. It was such a cool experience.
What I mean,
I was upside down. I was on the table. My head was like laid back. The gal's name that did it, her name's Emily. She's amazing. Go check her out, Emily. But yeah, she was like, I've never, she also tattooed the bottom of my foot. Cause I said to her one day, I was like, is there anywhere you have not tattooed on someone? She's tattooed everything else except the bottom of a foot.
That's
She's
strange.
Like, well, I did the inside of your mouth. So that was the first for me for that. She's like, I've never done the bottom of a foot. I was like, word, let's do it today. So she tattooed the bottom of my foot.
That's crazy.
We should also preface this. I work for 717 Tattoo.
Yeah.
So people aren't like, okay, that was really weird that you're just
I mean, here's the thing. This is on record. I am on record. I've said this for years, is that I don't, and you might punch me right in the face for saying this. I have zero issue with you getting a tattoo.
Yeah.
With anyway, it's your body. You do what you want. It has nothing to do with me. However, if you get it in places that are visible, don't be surprised when you don't get that professional job.
Sure.
Not saying that a tattooed person can't be a fantastic doctor, lawyer, president of the United States.
Yes.
They absolutely can. I'm just saying that, and it's not even me personally. It's the societal stigma of that. Don't get a tattoo all over your face and then bitch that you're not getting that job.
So,
like, am I wrong for thinking that?
No. Okay. And actually, the tattoo artists that work for 717 Tattoo, a lot of them will not tattoo certain people's faces or hands. We call it the job stopper. You get your hand tattooed.
Really?
Yeah, we call it the job stopper. But
now, if you're in like a creative field, if you are a tattoo artist, if you're a fighter, if you're, I mean, a chef, which is hilarious when you think about it, because you're making other people's foods.
Sure.
But having tattoos doesn't mean you're dirty.
No.
It's just, you know, it's one of those things.
It's like, visible and it's like
anything
a thing.
In a creative field. Like so, a chef, you get a tattoo and nobody cares if you have one on your face or your hand.
I started out in the medical field, and I was in the medical field for 16, almost 17 years, and in a very professional position. So obviously it wasn't this heavily tattooed. Everything that I had could be covered. And I got to the place where I was so miserable in that life. I made great money. I was a clinical supervisor mm-hmm. in a hospital on a floor, a whole floor. I was like at the epitome of what, like I had every certification. I was even an instructor. I taught anatomy at some point. Like I've done all of the professional things. I was like the OSHA ambassador. Like I took care of all of their sterility stuff. And like, I'm very smart cookie. Like I should be in a professional position because I know a lot about a lot, and I'm really great at problem solving, and I'm great at math, and you know, I have a lot in that way, but I was miserable and I hated it. So when I got the job at 717 Tattoo, I said to one of the tattoo artists, I was like, will you please tattoo my hand? And it was my stamp of
I'm not going back.
Yeah. Let's burn all the bridges, burn all the boats. I'm not freaking going back.
Here's the thing, is like, not to be a party pooper, but that stigma is starting to shrink.
Yeah, so, it is.
So and like for me, I think I started this kind of stand when I was on the radio. I got hate from people thinking that I said that because you have a tattoo, it makes you not professional.
No.
But it's never what I said.
If you're listening to what you're
saying,
that's
not people don't listen, right. Jillian. People don't. They hear that and they automatically, when you use that word, they get triggered.
Yes.
And they start going, I'm going to Facebook. That's what it means. That's what it means. I wish she was here right now because I would probably not say
anything. Here's the thing. If I could, I wouldn't say like I would not have any tattoos. I got tattooed very young. I was 16 when I got my first tattoo, and then I was like hooked. I was like, oh, let's do this everywhere.
It's super addictive.
Yes, it was. But like, I'm very attracted to people that don't have tattoos. I know that sounds weird because I'm like heavily tattooed, but I think it's like, it's cool when somebody's like, I don't have any tattoos.
I am very cool then.
You are.
I have no tattoos. My body's a temple.
I'm going to tattoo you.
Oh, God. I don't even know. It's just the thing. I don't have a problem with it. Not really scared of needles. I've just never thought highly of anything to the point where I would want to have it on my body.
I know. Me either, really.
Well, okay. So your
Sometimes
first tattoo.
I let other people pick things.
Your first tattoo was what?
My first tattoo was a little meaningful. It was a Celtic moon.
Okay. And do you still have it, or is it covered?
It is covered. A lot of my original tattoos are either covered or removed.
Okay, so you've had removals too.
I have. My entire back is in the middle of a removal, yeah.
Does it hurt?
Oh, it's the worst.
Is it worse than getting?
A million times. Listen, so like I don't like getting tattooed. I don't like tattoo pain. I know I have a lot, but that doesn't mean I care for the pain. I'm not mm-hmm. interested. But you can ask anybody I work with. When it comes to tattoo removal, I am such a wuss. I am horrible. I want my skin numbed. It is not fun. I literally have to meditate for like 3 days prior to getting this done. Like it does not go over well with me.
Right.
For whatever reason, my skin doesn't like it. I react really poorly to it. But that is the consequence of getting really terrible, shitty tattoos. So here we are.
So have you ever got a tattoo, and you immediately, right away, regretted it? You saw it.
Yes.
That is not what I thought it was going to look like. Whether it was poor decision
this
on
whole,
yours.
This whole arm.
That whole arm?
So the forearm, I gave this guy, I was like, here's my idea, here's my concept. And I gave him the concept, and I'm like, you're the artist. And he's like a really well-known, I'm not going to name him.
No, that's fine.
But he's like a really well-known artist and very expensive. He's like $250 an hour. And we're talking like 10 years ago, more than that now.
Okay.
But probably like 12 years ago now. And I was like, all right, you know, you just take my concept and you run with it. You're the artist. Like, I want you to have, you know, the freedom to kind of like, and he's like, all right, well, I'm going to use your whole forearm, like your whole arm. And I'm like, cool. So he did the first session and it was like 12. And I, back then, I don't really have any money. I was like broke. Like I had to save for these sessions. Mm-hmm. And like, it was like, I was like, oh, I'm not going to make my car payment for 3 months to like pay for this. But anyway, yeah, so we got done and I wasn't watching because I put my headphones in, I closed my eyes, I get quiet. I'd prefer it that way, like, and just do your thing and I'll look when it's done. And he must have seen it in my face that I was like, okay. And he was like, well, you know, it's not done. I'm like, no, I totally get that. Like, I understand.
Right.
So I went back for a second session, another like $1,000 session, and I hated it also. And it still wasn't done. I feel like he was kind of just milking me for money. Like I was super naive about it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of a crappy experience. So I walked around with it on my forearm for a long time, and I'm like, I don't know what to do with it. I don't want to get it removed because it's like still kind of the concept that I thought about. So I decided to cover it, black it out, and then leave. I don't know if you've ever looked at it, but like in the flowers, you can see the old tattoo. So it looks kind of like stained glass.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't want to get rid of the old tattoo fully. So I wanted you to be able to see parts of it. So that's all old tattoo in there. So it's kind of like, to me, it's more meaningful because I'm like, oh, I still have that old tattoo there.
Right.
Like you can still see it. It's still pretty cool. Like you would never know that that's the old tattoo looking.
No, you'd think it was part of the whole thing. Yeah, the whole sleeve.
Piece, yeah. Yeah. And then we went in over top of the blackout and we did like a reverse. I call it a ghost tattoo. That's not a real term, but it's like a reverse tattoo where they go in with the white ink over the black and made a design in it.
I'm very interested with people with tattoos and that tattoo culture. Doesn't mean I want to be a part of it.
Tattoo culture is really cool.
It really is. And I can appreciate it because
it's the industry.
It's
it artists. It was really fun to learn about the history of tattooing and the machines that they use. And learning the right terminology. People drive me nuts with stuff, but that's a whole nother topic.
What's a question about them that you're sick of answering?
Did they hurt?
Well, no, I mean,
Can people always want to touch this blackout one like it's not my skin or something?
Really?
I'm like always. People always.
They want to touch your tattoo.
They want to touch it.
What do they think it's going to feel like?
You know this, but I'm a bartender. But at the bar, for whatever reason, it's like, oh, can I touch that? No. First of all, I don't like when people touch me that I don't know. I thank you for asking because sometimes people will just touch it.
Sure.
And be like, oh. And I'm like, oh, it's my fucking skin.
again, nothing nothing that I would ever do. Just like the guy aggressively stopping and pulling up and saying,
so
I need
weird.
Your number. And like, I don't think I could ever just touch someone without asking them, and nor would I even ask them, I think. I don't think.
He was a little special and extra.
Yeah, so when are you guys going out?
No, sir.
Jillian Boyer fighting this Saturday, Sportsplex, Feasterville, Pennsylvania, Art of War 19. We're going to call this the springboard to the next evolution of your career,
yes.
Right? So
yes.
You're fighting. This is an amateur bout. Do you plan on turning pro? Is that something you want to do?
I never wanted to turn pro. That has never been in the wheelhouse. That's never been something I thought about. This was the first time. This camp was the first time that I was like, maybe.
Yeah. Why not? Why not make a little bit
my
of money?
Age, that's why. I'm a little older. I'm old for the fight game.
So what? I mean, it all depends on what you want to do. I mean, what's the, for people who don't know, in MMA in Pennsylvania, what's the difference between amateur and professional?
So amateur rules are a little bit different. You have to wear shin guards. There's no ground and pound, which just simply means if you have your opponent on the ground, you can't punch them in the face.
Right. You can punch them in the
You can punch
in
them
gut,
in the body,
right? Yeah.
Body, legs, arms. But even arms, you're getting close, so you want to be careful with that. But yeah, you can elbow to the body, but obviously no elbows to the face, still ground and pound. Even standing, there are no elbows.
Oh, I didn't know there's no elbows. Okay.
No elbow standing, no head kicks. Yeah, so they avoid the elbows because elbows cut.
Right.
And, you know, we're not getting paid to do this, and we all have real jobs. And,
right.
You know, some of us have kids and other lives. So right. It's like they're, like, trying to protect us in some way. And then I think there's knees to the body on the ground and knees standing for sure, mm-hmm. but no, like, knees to the head at all.
Now, let's assume, right, that this weekend goes well.
Yes.
And
that's a good assumption,
right? Let's assume this weekend goes well. You're happy with your performance.
Yes.
Is the only thing really holding you back that number, that age number?
You know, not necessarily. It's like you have to have, I don't think you have to have a specific amount of fights as an amateur, but you have to, you know, you have to be, well adjusted to the fighting before you can, like, try and make your pro debut. I don't think there's a certain number, but I could be wrong on that. This is never something I've ever thought
sure.
about. This was the first time where I was like, maybe, you know, this is maybe a potential thing that could happen.
Right.
So I would have to do some more research into it. But
right. Yeah, and I'm not talking
five,
like,
six, seven fights.
Yeah.
And so I would need a million more fights.
I mean, maybe. I'm you know, I'm not talking, you know, UFC. We're not necessarily
talking
pay-per-view.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, there's definitely
But, you know, there's professional levels. Fights on this card.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So staying within an organization like Art of War, who knows? I mean, I look at it like this, okay? Mm-hmm. I look at it as a promotion person, as someone who's in marketing.
Sure.
You know, here's the deal. If you get someone who can talk, do interviews, has a good personality, who is attractive.
Right.
I mean, you fill out all of those things.
For sure. And very marketable.
Sure. So I think that a place like Art of War is lucky to have you on their roster.
I'm lucky to have them. They're amazing.
Well, I mean, you're lucky to have each other. How
yes,
about that?
There we go.
So I think that, you know, they would, if you're interested in that, what's the harm of?
Yeah,
you a
I mean, I you know, if it's something that I make a decision about, if that is my final decision about it, I will pursue it, and
yeah.
I will pursue it with thunder. I will just go for it.
Yeah.
It's just not something I know a whole lot about. I haven't talked about.
Right.
Like, haven't said anything to my coaches. Like, hey, you know, is right. this a thing that's possible?
One fight at a time? Is that
yeah,
what you're thinking?
Kind
like,
of.
Let's worry about Saturday and
yeah,
then
I'm
going to.
I mean, not really, because I'm, like, already thinking about the next camp. I'm, like, excited to, like, I'm, like, I've grown so much in this camp. I'm, like, excited to, like, double, triple, quadruple that, whatever
sure.
that looks like. So maybe I'm, like, overthink, like, preemptively thinking about my next strike. But, yeah, I think that is on the plate potentially.
Mm-hmm.
For the future, I'm not taking it off the plate yet.
You know what we should do? I used to do this YouTube series called Puff Tries Stuff, and I did a bunch of different things. I did, like, women's roller derby and things like that.
Yes.
We should do one where we spar.
I'm sparring you.
And I mean, let's see what happens.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
Of course you will.
That is going to be the most fun.
The most fun. Trust me, a lot of people have wanted to punch me in the face.
Listen,
so
I will. They can vicariously live.
Exactly.
Me.
Exactly. All right. So I want to thank you. This is awesome.
Yeah.
This is the PuffCast episode one. We'll keep everyone updated on how you do this weekend. We're
yes.
very excited for you. Jillian Boyer, she's fighting this Saturday, Art of War 19, at the Sportsplex in Feasterville, Pennsylvania. Again, today's show brought to you by Quick Save Coupons. Download Quick Save Coupons app. Start saving money on the places you already go to. Thank you so much for
Absolutely.
Hanging out with
Thanks
me.
Thanks for having me. It was a blast. So much fun.